So this morning I will be reading from John 9, verses 1 to 7, in which Jesus heals a blind man. But before getting into there, I have a question. Have you ever been driving along, whether it be out in the country or maybe in the city, where you see something out in the distance, a structure or some sort of object, but never ever really knew what the purpose of it was? I've had that a number of times where I've passed something maybe 100 times in my life and never really looked at the object or the structure in the distance to ask, what was it there for? Who put it there? Why was it there? And what was its purpose? I remember also as a kid growing up on my neighbor's farm, we would, the first few years, all I did was mow lawn, and I enjoyed that. And there's a few odd jobs around the yard as well to do. But there was also a lot of old farm equipment that I had to mow around. And I thought that a lot of it didn't have a use. It was abandoned. It looked like relics. It was just a nuisance for me that I had to mow around now. Sometimes I would have to move it. But I never knew that there was a purpose for them. But as I grew older, I realized that there was. And I was given more responsibilities, and you soon found out that each piece of equipment had a purpose. And one of those was a rake that I had to go around all the time, and later on I would enjoy raking hay in the field with that piece of equipment that I thought was just a nuisance to mow around. We miss these small details sometimes, but there is always a purpose or a reason to these things. If we just stop and ask. But once we've stopped and asked, then often there is a response as well that we must follow. There's an action. In John 9, we read of a blind man whom Jesus healed. A man probably many passed by each day without ever really giving notice to him. But nothing goes unnoticed in the eyes of God. Nothing goes unnoticed when Jesus was out and about. He was always had a lesson to teach. And so I'll read John 9, verses 1 to 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. In verse 1, we see on display the mercy, the love, and pity of Jesus had and has for sinful man. We read that Jesus saw a blind man. This isn't to say that he saw something and then kept moving and walked on past. No, he stopped. He examined. He responded. He had sympathy for this man. He took interest in what society deemed the least and most likely passed by 100 times. But this cannot be said the same for the disciples. For their reaction was much different. It was one of judgment. They said, Who sinned? Right away they jumped to a conclusion that something, this person must have done something wrong to deserve that. Often if you've seen a car accident, you may right away ask, Who's at fault? What happened? And if it happens to happen early in the morning, especially on a weekend, you may suspect the worst. Someone was probably drinking and driving or something worse. But that is us, our nature of jumping to judgment right away. Jesus surprises his disciples with his response. Neither he, this blind man, nor his parents sinned to cause this blindness. He wasn't saying these people were perfect, that they were without sin. He was simply saying that it wasn't any sin that caused this blindness, this particular hardship. Throughout the Bible, God has made it abundantly clear that there are consequences to sin. To the unbeliever, it is death and hell, separation from God. To the believer, although the soul is saved, the body still may endure chastening, times of humbling. Paul writes of this in 1 Corinthians 11, when warning fellow believers that they are to come with a right heart to the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 28 to 32, we read, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, that is judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, because they are not willing to examine themselves, for this cause they are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." It doesn't say all, but many. Not every affliction that we endure is because we did something wrong, but many may be. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Our soul is still saved when we trust in the Lord. He does not take that away. But this man, in this case, this blind man, Jesus tells his disciples that the hardship came upon him not because of sin, but that in order to show God's work in him, to show the grace and mercy of God through Jesus, and how we as his followers are to do likewise. Jesus did the works of his Father during his short time on earth. We similarly have a short time to do that which our Father asks of us. And for me personally, I've fallen short countless times. But that is not an excuse to give up and become complacent. Jesus said, as long as he is in the world, he is the light of the world. And are we not commanded to work while it is light? Now, Jesus may not be here in the flesh no longer, but his spirit certainly is. His spirit is alive and well within believers to lighten our lives. So there is still work. There is still light. Jesus doesn't leave this poor blind man in his wretched state after he has used them as an object lesson for his disciples. No, his sympathy is true. His compassion is pure. He anoints the man's eyes with clay. Remember, Jesus is part of the creation team of the Godhead. And it was on the sixth day that God created man from dust. Here he is once again using the dust of the earth to make clay. He is repairing or restoring his creation from its fallen state. This blind man is then instructed to go to the pool of Siloam to wash, to be restored. He believed and was sent. And after his transformation, we read that the blind man came seeing. And one interesting point is, when Jesus first saw this man in verse 1, the word saw, used there, eido, means to examine. Jesus examined this man. He examined his heart, just as he examines our heart. And we are to examine our own heart. When this man was washed and came seeing in verse 7, at the end of our reading, the word seeing is a different Greek word. It means understanding. If we've been examined and now live in the light of our Lord, are we actively doing the works we ought to? Not out of vainglory, but so the work of God is made manifest in others, so that they too may be washed and given understanding. When God examines our hearts and we desire to be closer to him, and to be cleansed, to have our eyes washed, to see more clearly. Then we are given greater understanding in how to better work while it is day. Jesus restored the sight of this man so that the works of God would be made manifest. That means to be revealed or visible, to stir up faith within him and within his disciples. Faith to be saved and faith to walk each day in. And so may we all take encouragement from this account that we have been washed and that our eyes are to see more clear as we walk by faith and abide with our Lord now and always.